Keyland, what you guys out of? Where's your office? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I used to take offense to it early on. I used to take offense to it because, you know, I see, you know, young white millionaires all the time and they don't get questioned the same way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they look just like me.
Yeah.
Literally listen to hip hop just like we listen to hip hop.
Yeah.
Dress how we dress and they don't get questioned the same. But you know what? It's power in that. Because when you surprise somebody, when the expectation is this low, mm-hmm. and then you over deliver, oh man, they now they rocking with you for life.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Hi, everybody. Thank you to welcome to another episode of Speak Life Podcast. I'm here with Joshua Bell, a.k.a. Josh with Keyland Holding. It's the man right here with a lot of information on how he gets down. And we're going to speak to him about his journey and we're going to speak life into his business. So welcome, Josh. Thank you for coming to Speak
Thank
Life.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
It's all good. It's all good. So for those who don't know you, tell us about who is Josh right now. Josh Bell. Who is he?
I am the owner and acquisitions manager for Keyland Holdings out of South Holland, Illinois. And we buy about 12 to 15 properties every month between Northwest Indiana and South Suburbs of Chicago.
12 to 15 properties a month?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That sounds like a big business right there. That's a big business. How did you get into...
We got to take it back to 2017. I was working at Pepsi. I was 7 years at Pepsi when I started. Started dibbling dabbling into like just I knew I wanted to do something else.
Yeah.
I knew it was either gonna be stocks or it was gonna be some real estate.
Okay.
Just because like, you know, I ain't wanna reinvent the wheel. You know what I'm saying? I wanted something that was gonna like be sustainable. And I started with the stocks a little bit, but it wasn't really catching me how real estate was.
Okay.
So I was watching YouTube, man, YouTube University. I was just diving in on everything. Like, how can I get in? How can I get in? I didn't have no money. Didn't really have no credit. You know what I'm saying? So, ran across this guy, man, called the Flip Man. And he was just some guy from Alabama, man, but he was wholesaling. But this is the first time I ever heard of that term, like wholesaling. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, got into wholesaling. Got my first transaction. This is 2017, like maybe... I don't know, sometime in the fall, maybe like November. So between November and March of 2017, I got my first deal. March of 2018, I got my first deal.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So but within a 5 month span of like first finding something out, I got my first deal. It was a $3,500 deal. You know what I'm saying? Real small, but it was big at the time to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm used to getting $1,000, $1,200 a week. And then just getting $3,500 at one time.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Up.
So that was that. But it was, you know, I made a lot of mistakes, you know, in between that whole little 5 months, man. You know what I'm saying? I got my first deal from Bandit Signs. All them little We Buy Houses signs you see on the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was me at 2 in the morning. Yeah. 2 in the morning going out there and putting up signs with my zip ties. And, you know what I'm saying? They illegal. So, you know what I'm saying? We already... You know, we looking out. I'm nervous. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't even know that's illegal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You ain't supposed to have. It's like against like city ordinances. Not everywhere, but where I was putting them at, I shouldn't have been over there.
Okay.
You know, guy called the sign. You know what I'm saying? We did business. So that was March. I ended up running into I knew my business partner first because we tried to start a business. You know, 10 years ago.
Okay.
All right. We had this idea of having an online pawn shop, which was like. Now that I look back at it, we probably should have like kept going with it.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
But you know what I'm saying? We didn't have no funding or nothing back then. We was kids, bro. We was like 22, 23.
Understandable.
But we was trying to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come up with something. We had websites and everything. We was trying to get into that tech world type shit.
Okay.
Didn't work. You know what I'm saying? So, but that was my boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't grow up together, but we used to, you know what I'm saying, work together in the pawn shop. You know what I'm saying? So, but we tried to start our own pawn shop, but it didn't work.
Oh, so you was working in a pawn shop?
Yeah, that's where we got the idea from, because we knew the pawn business. Like, we was beasts, bro. Like, we had and a lot of people don't know the pawn business, but we had $1 million PLO. All right. I mean, PLO stands for pawn loan outstanding.
Okay. All right.
If you tell anybody in the pawn business you got $1 million PLO, they're looking at you crazy because it's unheard of. But I was the youngest acquisition. I'm sorry. I was the youngest operations manager for Easy Pawn at that time in the region.
Okay.
I was 22 years old and I was the youngest, and my store had $1 million PLO. Just to give you an idea how much money that is. We was charging 23% interest on loans.
Damn.
Anybody who ever got a pawn loan, they'll tell you like, yeah, the interest be crazy high. We was charging, this was right after like 2007, 2008, after the, you know, we was right in the butt of the recession.
Yeah, for sure.
Feel me? So we had lines out the door, people bringing in Xboxes, jewelry, motorcycles, computers, everything. Bro, so 23% interest on $1 million per month. That was, you do the math. We was getting $230,000 a month in interest payments.
Damn.
Yeah, we was eating. So that's the reason why I wanted to start my own.
Did you get paid a sentence off that for doing stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was an operations manager. So, I mean, it wasn't nothing, but we used to get bonuses.
Okay, okay.
But they used to send people to our store like, what is y'all doing? With three black managers, you know what I'm saying? And one of them is the youngest one we got in the company right now. You know what I'm saying? Which was me. So I was great. I always been great at building teams. Like that's just what I did. You know what I'm saying? I was able to take somebody who didn't give a fuck about the company and make them give a fuck about the company.
That's real.
You know what I'm saying? Can we cuss on here?
Yeah, we can cuss.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna cuss too much.
We're not gonna go.
I'm not gonna go overboard.
We're not pirates and sailors and shit like that. No, we're not that.
Yeah. I ain't gonna go overboard. But just to let you know, like, you know, coming from that, I was always been a person. Then I left there, you know, went to Pepsi. You know what I'm saying? Which was, you know, Fortune 500 company. So I've always been a part of something big and tried to see how I could.
Were you a manager at Pepsi though?
No. I was a regular. When I first started Pepsi, I wanted to become I wanted to go into management.
Right.
But that's a whole nother story. But it was a lot of racism and just wild stuff going on. So.
Doing with manufacturing and factories, you always got to get to run around with that because it's like they have a system that you're
exactly.
coming into.
But I learned a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I tell everybody, like, you got to, in your 20s, I suggest you do go work for people. And work for big companies, work for small companies and big companies. Because there's stuff that I learned at Easy Pawn that I incorporate in my business now. Stuff that I learned from Pepsi, I incorporate in my business now.
So what are those things? Because as you were talking about the percentages, I'm like, all right, well, working at a pawn shop, you got to know how to negotiate. So are those what, like, is there some of the skills that you gain while working at Easy Pawn?
I wouldn't be here without Easy Pawn. I swear to God.
Yeah.
Like, just being able to negotiate, you know, going in that stone face, being able to really, like, you know, get deals and get discounts on houses and everything. Like, I wouldn't be as good as that, you know. I wouldn't have that skill without Easy Pawn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I learned that skill in Easy Pawn.
All right, so what are some of the skills that you learned at Pepsi?
Oh man, organization and systems, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Charts, being able to scale, you know what I mean? Being able to always watch your overhead, you know, just being able to manage money. Like, I seen how, you know, I learned about loss leaders and, you know, it's just how to manage money and how to, like, manage a team, like, on a bigger, you know, scale.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, how, like, I have remote employees. You know what I'm saying? I got three employees that, you know, I've never seen before. You know what I mean? They work in El Salvador. But I wouldn't know how to manage them remotely without the skills I learned at Pepsi. You know what I'm
saying?
That's dope. You know, we had managers, you know, I met the regional manager for Pepsi in like North America. Like he runs like the whole Midwest from like Detroit, Minnesota, Ohio, Indiana, Chicago. I met him and it was like, he was walking around. He only been in this plant maybe like twice in his whole life.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But he was running it. And, you know, just the practices that he implemented to keep all these plants organized, how we used to share inventory. That's when I used to realize like plants and companies, they share resources, supplies, inventory. Like I never knew about that. I was like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? This plant just isn't this plant.
Mm-hmm.
They're holding.
It's a whole network.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Building a network. Yeah, so that's what I learned. That's the biggest thing I learned about working for, you know, the big companies. That's the biggest company I ever worked for.
So what made you want to say, I don't want to be at Pepsi. I gave y'all my 7 years.
Yeah.
It's a wrap. I don't want to.
Yeah. I was locked in, man. Like, you know, I was there. I mean, cause I got three kids, man. So I got to provide for my kids, but right. You know, I was there always watching, always learning. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never went to work and was just a drone. Like, I was always learning.
For sure.
Like, 'cause everything applies to everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, even I have a conversation with bosses just all the time. Like, they love me there. Like, mm-hmm. I just go up and have a conversation. And the whole time I'm picking their brain. I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But just trying to be a better operator and, you know, just a better just managing myself. But what really the straw that broke the camel's back was, man, the racism was crazy. You know what I'm saying?
What Pepsi were you at?
Because I could have worked. I was at the one in Munster.
Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Which was like the biggest plant in the Midwest at the time. I don't know if it still is. But racism was crazy, man. You know, I was always trying to move around. Like, I learned how to drive trucks at Pepsi.
Yeah.
I learned how to do a whole lot of stuff at Pepsi.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So people see that.
Yeah.
And then, like, they be like, wow, you know, Josh can do everything, you know, and we don't like that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, so when the shit hit the fan, like, they'll ask you to come in for some overtime on Saturday, Sunday, whatever. You know, it was some, like, in the summertime, I worked like 26 days in a row. You know what I'm saying? No off days. And these ain't no 8-hour shifts. These
12,
16.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm busting their head. You know what I'm saying? But it was like when it came time for a position to be open and I ask about the position, try to bid out, whatever. They were looking at me crazy.
Bro, like, that was the exact same reason why I left the factory. Just dealing with being that person that was skilled in everything. It's like you. I just wanted to learn everything, you know what I'm saying? And at that point, I had learned pretty much all the machines to work from every machine. Because we did what Panera Bread. It was food manufacturing. So icing, ovens, sanitation, all that stuff. Learned how to work all that stuff. And now it was time. The manager had quit. Team leader quit. So it's like, all right, put me in it for the team lead. And they're like, yeah, you're the it's not involuntary, but it's like acting or something like that. You know what I'm saying? You're not officially, but you are, right?
Right.
So when we have visitors, we're putting you in front of them. We have, you know what I'm saying? So you're the guy we go to. Man, when it was time for that position to be filled, man, they gave it to somebody else. And I'm like, all right, cool. I started working in the lab. Started working and figuring out lab stuff because they wouldn't give me a lab position because I didn't have a degree or any chemistry background. Man, learned that, still wouldn't give it to me. I said, you know what? I'm out. Took that knowledge that I had from just working it, put it on my resume, and then ended up being a chemist, like at other plants, like forever. It was all good. Did a good job as a chemist, but it's like, I understand how they try to blackball you, put that wall in front of you, and hold your progress, man.
Right.
It's wild.
It's like, wild. You know, and I knew I wasn't going to, I never ever seen myself retiring from a company either. That's another thing about me.
Okay.
I never seen myself retiring as a company. I see my mom bust her ass. I mean, my mom's a registered nurse. She don't got no, like, you know, BS job or nothing. But I just seen her just bust her face for years and not really, like, she missed out, like, on a lot of childhood. You feel me? So I never wanted to be that.
Yeah.
Like, I always used to say, man, by 40, 45, I want to be chilling. Like, I don't want to, you know, I want to work when I want to work.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? After that point. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I want to just grind it up. But I was seeing people leaving out of Pepsi that was, you know, working, they worked 36, 37, you know, 40 years, and all they get is a cake and a banner when it's time to go.
And they got a limp.
Yeah, and they got a limp. They're looking wild walking up out of there.
The limp.
Looking wild walking up out of there. And I just didn't want that. At this point, and that's why I say I thank God for Pepsi, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because, before this, I knew I was just going to be a great manager. You know what I'm saying? I thought I was going to be a great manager for another company.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But then when I worked for Pepsi, I was like, you know what? At Easy Pine, I worked for untrustworthy people.
Right.
People that, you know, just was just untrustworthy people.
Right.
And then now I'm working for people that I'm smarter than and I don't respect. So now it's like, I'm tired of that.
Yeah.
This is the last time I'm working for somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
And I've been gone since 2019. You know what I'm saying? So That was that. I went full time into real estate. Me and Phil linked up in 2018. Made $60,000 our first year together. Fumbling. That $60,000 should have probably been like 160. Like we didn't know what we was doing. We just outside. You know what I'm saying? Like getting it out the mud. So that was first year. Next year we doubled. You know what I'm saying? Next year we more than double. Now I'm really thinking about it. Next year we more than double. You know what I'm saying? Almost triple. You know what I'm saying? Our bottom line. And I was like, bro, let's turn it up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, that's pretty much been the journey, man. So now we're doing flips. We do project management, property management. We still wholesale. And, you know, get into the bag.
I dig. So this real estate journey that you've been on, what's been some of the challenges that you had to overcome?
All the challenges, man. So we, all the challenges, man. If there's a challenge out there, I have encountered it. Literally, I have a degree in this. Let's narrow it down for the people. So, the biggest challenge is just being young, being African American, and buying houses from old white people. Okay. For lack of a better word. I've had people literally like, what's your website in front of me? Like, usually you'll sneak and look me up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I have people like, what's your website? They're looking at my shirt like, you know, well, Keyland, where you guys out of? Where's your office? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I used to take offense to it early on. I used to take offense to it because, you know, I see, you know, young white millionaires all the time and they don't get questioned the same way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they look just like me.
Yeah.
Literally listen to hip hop just like we listen to hip hop.
Yeah.
Dress how we dress and they don't get questioned the same. But you know what? It's power in that. Because when you surprise somebody, when the expectation is this low, mm-hmm. and then you over deliver, oh man, they rocking with you for life.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because they like, you know what? This kid, hey, he might look the way he looks, but he delivers.
Yeah.
His word is his word.
Yeah.
And it's simple. It's a simple concept.
Integrity,
but,
for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. But everybody doesn't have it.
I did.
You know what I mean?
I did.
Yeah. So I never overpromise. Like, I overdeliver, but I never overpromise. You know what I'm saying?
That's a bar.
Yeah.
That's real.
I always go the extra mile, and it's been to my, you know, it's worked out great for me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a hard worker, and I want everybody to walk away from every transaction being happy. You know what I'm saying? I want my seller to walk away happy with some money. I want my buyer to walk away happy with a house. I want to walk away happy with a house or some money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even my closing agents and my title companies, I want them to walk away like, you know what? It's, you know how many times I done bought houses with no earnest money down? Just because, like, my name was that good.
Mm.
That's not even supposed to happen. Like, they call the title company, they like, you know, the seller call and be like, hey, is the $2,500 earnest money up there? And they be like, well, it's probably on the way. That's Josh. That's Josh and Keyland. They gonna take care of you.
Big plug.
Yeah. I ain't send no money up there. Y'all see the money at the closing table. You know what I'm saying? But that's the energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how, you know, I've stayed consistent and take care of my people. So the biggest challenge is, like I said, the expectations that homeowners might have for me. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And overcoming that. Okay. You know what I mean? So, That's a big challenge. Another big challenge is access to capital, man. You know, it's hard to scale when, because real estate is a very cash dependent business.
For sure.
Anybody who, you know, tells you different is lying to you. You need cash. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you need credit, but you need cash. You know what I'm saying? Now, the way you build cash up, you know, you can do that from saving. You got 401ks, you got, you know, private investors. You know, but you're going to need to keep some cash because when the opportunities come across your table, it's just like a pawn shop. Like, when the opportunities come across the table, you got to be able to jump on it fast. You know what I mean? And cash is fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's the fastest thing out there.
You ain't got to worry about no holes on checks and nothing like that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? You want to make sure that you keep it some type of cash reserves. You know what I'm saying? Which is a challenge when you're not used to. I mean, because, you know, I might have $50,000 in the bank,
mm-hmm.
but I can't just play with it.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
not when you're doing business. No,
yeah,
no,
you can't
no.
just play with it because an opportunity might come and I might need to, you know what I'm saying? I might need to throw 10 right quick or I might need to throw 20. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you want to make sure that you're really managing your cash. A lot of people that have a bad experience with real estate, it's because they didn't manage their cash. You know what I'm saying? Because it's really hard to lose money in this. I'm going to be all the way honest. It's like swimming in a, it's like swimming in like a 4-foot pool.
But that's
like
crazy because
it's hard to drown.
I hear people say that they lost money in real estate. Like you always mm-hmm. hear that. Like I had a bad real estate deal.
No. They probably had a bad experience. Now I'm gonna tell you this: the bad experience comes from bad people.
Okay.
The actual asset never loses.
For sure. Now that makes sense.
Yeah. The actual asset never loses.
Yeah.
It's slow lawyers. You probably missed out on the deal because your lawyer was slow. You know what I'm saying? Your lawyer taking 14 days to close a transaction. Or you might have missed, and the biggest thing is bad contractors. You know what I'm saying? You didn't double check his references. You got to double check your contractor's references Don't be scared. Like, they work for you. And I see a lot of people getting contractors and they being nice to them and they're trying to be friends. No, it's not that. I need to call your last three jobs. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? Because we're going to be dating for the next, you know, 30 to 45 days. And I want this to be pleasant.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, working out a draw schedule, cash schedule. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't just pay them all in one time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, all my contractors get paid weekly. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless they got like something big that they got to order, like countertops or cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, they're getting paid like a weekly schedule. So if the flip is $20,000 and it's going to take them 4 weeks, they're getting $5,000 a week.
Makes
until
sense.
It's done.
Makes sense.
And then if I come in there, because I'm about to get ready to go check on a project right now. In fact, when I get done with this, if it doesn't look the way I want it to look, you're not getting this money. I go, hey, go to Home Depot. I got a corporate account up there. Put all your materials on the corporate account. And when the work's complete, when I feel like it's, you know what I'm saying, 25, 50%, 75% done, you'll get a disbursement.
Mm. So you can negotiate how you deal with contractors and how things that get done with contractors is saying like, okay, we can do a draw system. I can pay you up front, but then you mess around and lose that way if you pay the contractor up front.
Or yeah, no, I don't ever pay nobody up front.
Yeah, true. But yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it's different. You got options when dealing with these contractors.
Exactly. So. And it's all about what works best for you. You know what I mean? So we do our flips with a mixture of credit and cash. So I tell them straight up, hey, give me the itemize me the labor on one contract, and then we'll give because materials go up and down, but give me like a scope of what your materials will be, and then I'll decide whether I want to put that on the Home Depot card or I'm putting it on the Amex. You know, I'll decide on the materials, but let me know what your labor is going to be, and what I do is I divide that labor up by however many weeks it's going to take for them to finish the job. Okay. And if you go over and it's not a cabinet or a countertop that you're waiting on, I'm going to start docking.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That last payment, sometimes I get crazy with it, bro. I charge them like $50 a day. So if you said 4 weeks and we into the fifth week, you might be down $250, $300. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, unless we wait on material. If we wait on material, I understand. But even then, I don't understand because, to be honest,
because
I'm a type of person, like I said, that's why I do the labor on one contract, materials on another.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of like right now, Nico, my contractor, great contractor, he went and he orders the cabinets and my flooring and my countertops week one. So if it takes 4 weeks, it should be here in 3 to 4 weeks.
Smart.
You know what I'm saying?
Smart.
I understand stuff happens, but you can't just swing a hammer with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I'm on a schedule. I got to pay interest on this money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This money ain't cheap.
Yeah.
So you got to deliver for me because I got to deliver for other people.
So let's talk about the flip side of capital, because you were saying cash is one thing, but credit is another. So let's talk about how you pretty much work this credit thing. So you have a system with your company and... Yeah, let's just talk about that.
Yeah. So it's a lot of money out there, y'all. I want to say, if you don't have the cash, it's cool. Go get you some credit. But you want to look out for some things, okay? It's because there's a lot of scammers out there,
mm-hmm.
All right? So you don't want any loan origination fee up front. You know, you don't want none of that. You don't want people that's like, all right, give me $1,500 and I'm going to get you approved for... Stay away from all them jokers.
Yeah,
all right? Them,
yeah.
No.
That's like, you know, a lot of
talk. Money, I only pay people for things that are proprietary. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to have a skill or it has to be proprietary.
Yeah.
This is money that you're getting me.
For sure.
So it's not proprietary. It's money everywhere.
Yeah.
All right? So you don't want to pay for nothing up front with that. Now, there's a lot of good places like Finance of America, man. Trying to think, PNG, myinvestalone.com. Drawing a blank. It's a lot of them, but there's a lot of resources out there where they'll mess with first time investors.
Okay.
You want to get credit lines. Now they might not give you a credit line up front. Your first flip, I'm not gonna lie to you, you might have to just fund that specific deal. But you eventually want to work your way up to getting credit lines.
Okay.
So these credit lines means like you got pre-approved for like maybe like $250,000, $500,000, and you want to be able to use that credit line. Okay. And these credit lines go up. I know people that's getting $5 million credit lines. So yeah, it gets crazy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So you just want to work your way up. Okay. Make sure your credit stay clean. You know what I'm saying? Bring as many people to the table as possible. There's a lot of people in your circle that has good credit. Use them. You know what I'm saying? Like, say, look, you know, I'm putting up my money. We're going to use your credit on this loan. I'm going to kick you 10% of the flip. You ain't got to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? I just need you to hold the loan in your name.
Using your resources.
I do that still to this day. You know what I'm saying? Because some finance companies only let you get 2-3 loans at a time. And like I just told you, I'm doing 12-15 transactions a month. So I need capital. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's people that's just a credit partner. You know what I mean? That'll just hold the loan in their name. I work the deal. When I sell the deal, they get a little kickback.
So let me ask you a question. Why that number? Because, you know, I know some people that, you know what I'm saying, they do houses and they may like do 3 in a year, 4 in a year, something like that.
That's
why
cool.
So many?
All right. So we do project management. All right. And we have a system where we call Momentum. Okay. All right. Meaning that we take a novice investor and we put them through our pipeline and pretty much our amplifier and get them to, you know, wherever their goal is. Okay. So some of these investors are, you know, 10 properties a year. Some of them are 20 properties a year. You know, it varies.
Okay.
So with Momentum, and this is, you know, this is not for everybody. This is just for, you know, the people that we really want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the real estate investment firm comes into play.
Okay.
We probably, at the beginning of the year, right now, I have a shopping list for like 60 properties already. Okay. You know what I mean? Out of them 60 properties, I've only delivered on like maybe 8 of them.
Okay.
All right. So I have a whole year to get 60 properties for these specific investors. Okay. They're like 5. Okay. Now, on top of that, I got to make my own money. Okay. I got to get my own properties.
Okay. Okay.
I got to wholesale a certain amount. You know what I'm saying? So it gets crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like 12 to 15 sounds like a lot, but it's really not. You know what I mean? Like okay. That's just what the bare minimum. That's the plan. You know what I'm saying? But I'm always trying to shoot past the plan.
I feel you.
That's the reason why we have to do so many, because I'm not just finding houses for us to flip. I'm finding houses for 8 other very special investors to flip. And they pay me weekly to find them properties. Exactly. Yeah. On top of us picking out the best ones for ourselves. On top of us, you know, still wholesaling when we need some quick cash. Because like I said, it's very cash heavy business.
Mm-hmm.
Also getting rentals for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? So
y'all doing rental properties as well. So y'all flipping, wholesale, finding properties for other investors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One stop shop.
Yeah.
You know, anything dealing with real estate, we do here. You know what I'm saying? The only thing that we stopped doing was property management. We don't do that anymore. But we have a partner that, you know, does property management. But it was taking too much energy away.
I feel you. So what made y'all want to go into the land of saying, all right, we're taking on investors and doing property?
It's beautiful. Pretty much, I want to really grow Keyland to be the Fidelity, like how Fidelity is to stocks.
Yeah, for sure.
And how it's a household name.
Yeah.
I want Keyland to be a household name when it comes to real estate. A lot of people don't know how to get into real estate. They're willing. They, you know, a lot of people got cash. You know what I'm saying? They got the tenacity. They just don't have a door. And I want Keyland to be the door.
Keys,
you know what I'm saying?
Keyland opening the keys to the
exactly. You see how it's So how Fidelity, you go to Fidelity and trade stocks and it's trusted.
Yeah.
The same way. When you want to get into real estate, I want to be able to, you know, scale up my system to the point we can help not just, you know, twos and fews, but I want to be able to help thousands of people get into real estate. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be, and not just education, like literally, like this is a firm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You came in here January 1, you wanted a property. By December, you're going to have you a property and it's going to be, you know, a good asset. It's not just going to be some BS.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we're going to help you. We're going to help you find property management. We're going to help you have GCs to rehab it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to help you get tenants. You know what I'm saying? Help you evict tenants. You know what I mean? Just a one-stop shop all the way around.
So let's talk about the eviction process, because
let's go. I'm that guy.
Yeah, that's why I had to ask, because, you know, me and you, we talk all the time. But when it comes to this eviction stuff, especially dealing with COVID and all this stuff going on, we understand how, you know, it's tough on people at times, but at the same time, it still is a business. This is a real estate. This is a whole economy that has ups and downs with it.
Facts.
So how do you feel in this climate about evictions and dealing with the scale of property that you deal with? How does that all play out?
This the way I feel. All right. I feel like the bank need their money.
Yeah.
Okay. If most of your landlords out there are people who only have one, maybe two properties max. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm not talking about these big, like if you live in an apartment complex. I'm talking about like if you rent a house, you know, you live in a triplex or, you know, duplex, mm-hmm. whatever. That is a person who goes to work every day. Okay. The majority of those landlords mm-hmm. are just regular Americans. They go to work every day. Okay. So is it fair for them to be paying two mortgages while somebody
I feel you.
Just laying up?
Yeah.
It's not.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? So my thing is this, you know, and this might be unpopular, but look, the bank's on my back, so I got to be on your back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And your average landlord isn't rich. A landlord is doing great if he's getting $200 a month in his pocket per door.
Mm-hmm.
Any real estate investor will tell you that. If that real estate investor is putting at least $200 in their pocket from your rent per door, they're doing great. Mm-hmm. Now, is $200 worth the headache of dealing with somebody giving you excuses? You know what I'm saying? He's coming through, you know, fixing stuff when he, and I ain't talking about the slum lords. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about good landlords out there.
Yeah.
He come through, you know, get the snow for you sometimes. Come and do the repairs that you need. You know what I'm saying? When the toilet stopped up, he coming through, yeah. like changing air filters. He's doing all of that, and he's only putting $200, maybe $200 a month in his pocket. It's not fair for that man or that woman to have to pay two mortgages.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
You know, especially when that house ain't paid off. That whole $1,000, $1,500 that he charging for rent, his mortgage is probably half that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, nah, it's not fair. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and that's why people get out of real estate at a certain time. And it's good for me. That's how I get so many deals on houses. My biggest avatar is tired landlords, and they all have the same. I'm about to buy a house on Tuesday, and she's like, "This Raheem, I want to be there when you evict him," you know. And it's like, you know, decent people, you could talk to your landlord and say, "Look, you know, it's COVID, this going on, but there's a lot of different programs out there.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, there's programs that you could get your landlord paid, you know what I'm saying, in this. You know what I'm saying? Big T did that for us, you yeah. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, it's a lot of different, you know.
Say Big T.
Yeah, it's a lot of different programs out there that can help the people.
My boy.
I just don't like people just, because look, I got to pay my mortgage, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, we got to figure it out as a people.
Yeah.
You know?
So are you saying, but now I didn't want to go there with it, but are yeah. you saying that, you know what I'm saying, the majority of people that's doing these landlords along are our people? Cause
No, not our people. I ain't talking about our people. No, I'm just everybody. I'm just saying, you know, we got to figure it out.
Yeah,
you know, as a people, when I mean as a people, I mean as Americans.
Yeah,
I ain't talking about just black people.
All right.
I'm talking about like as America, because all of America got hit with the COVID.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
not just, you know, certain people got hit with the COVID. You know what I mean? Like, every industry was affected.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of them was affected in better than others. Like some of them had a positive effect, but for the majority, everybody had a negative effect.
Yeah.
After this. So, you know, if you can't pay, you need to like find a program or assistance to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe just, you know, work a little harder. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Every place is hiring right now.
Everything is hiring.
You know,
everyone is hiring right now.
Everybody is hiring right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, nah, don't. My mom used to always tell me, be self sufficient.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? And that means be self sufficient, meaning that, like, you know, you got to take care of your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want me to have to come take care of my business. Because when I take care of my business, I'm going out to the courthouse, I'm going to get you out of it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want that on your record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just work with me.
Yeah.
And really, if you have some grace about it, say, you know what? I can't pay you. I'm already 3 months behind. You know, I'm about to get up out of here.
Yeah.
And you be a man of your word or a woman of your word, and you get out by the end of the month, I ain't finna foul on you. You know what I'm saying? Because you getting out the way so that I could, yeah. you know what I'm saying, take care of my business.
Yeah. Which is fair. And honorable.
And I'll come and rent back to you when you back on your feet. You give me a call. Hey, Josh, remember me? Look, man, I'm good now.
Yeah.
I got a spot for you. I got a spot for you. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't just all just, you know, I know I sound like a Republican capitalist. Well, I am a capitalist.
You had your boot ready. Your mission boot on. Like, nigga,
Get out. Get out. You know?
Eviction boots on, fool. I'm kicking your ass.
No, because you know what? In my experience, when you evict these people, and it's not just black people, because I rent to, you know, Hispanics, blacks, whites. In my experience, right, you go in the property, and this is just, people have a priority problem. They don't have a cash flow issue. They have a priorities issue. You wouldn't believe how many people I'd have had to evict, and it's an 80-inch on the wall. Or I go in there and they kid got all the new Jordans, but you getting evicted.
I feel you.
How your kid fresh and he gotta go to grandma's house.
Yeah.
Come on now. We got a priorities issue. Knock it off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got the new iPhone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got Apple everything. You got more Apple stuff than I do. But you can't pay your rent. No, you got a priorities issue.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So and this ain't just us. I ain't saying I'm just black people. I'm talking about just, I done seen white people the same way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a, you know, brand new rims on the car outside, on the Mustang, but, you know, you getting evicted. So it's universal.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Well, we're now at the part of the podcast where, well, you already spoke on this a little bit, but we're going to manifest. We like to speak life, and we want folks to, we understand our words have a power of life and death, and we want to make sure that we speak life not only into you, but you speak life into your business as well. And you spoke on that a little earlier, saying that you want Keyland Holdings to be the Fidelity of real estate, which I think is very dope, because if that's the case, then man, you got a bright future ahead of you, man.
Thank you, brother. That's gonna be dope to see.
But I know how you do your business, and y'all set goals on a quarterly and yearly basis. Mm-hmm. So what are some of your goals for this year, if you don't mind sharing?
1.2. I was like, 1.2 is very attainable. Million. In rev, not profit, just 1.2 million in rev. I want to scale up to some different markets.
Okay.
I've been just playing around with Atlanta, but I really want to just like jump in Atlanta, like really, you know, be in Atlanta, be in Houston, get into some more just popular markets. Cause I mean, up here is cool, but it's a mass exodus, right? There's only like, I think it's only like 400,000 people difference between Houston and Chicago now.
Yeah.
So,
I was just looking at that. I didn't even know Houston was that big. Phoenix.
Phoenix creeping up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so these are like boom towns that you know, I want to go and you know, bite the apple a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just a little bit more.
That's real. That's real. And then let's say 5 years. 5 years, what are you thinking about?
Don't know like revenue wise, but definitely I feel like in 5 years I should be putting $1 million in my pocket.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. That's
so
what's up.
If I'm putting $1 million in my pocket, Keyland got to at least be doing like 50. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you know, just being and just becoming more branded household name, you know, and just helping people. You know what I mean? Helping investors get off their feet, and you know, I love teaching.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, you know. Very strong possibility of you know, traveling, doing some seminars,
okay,
stuff like that.
Okay, that's dope.
That's
dope, and also be another source of revenue as well.
Which
is always
maybe
a good
maybe
thing.
A book. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, I find it very interesting, and a common denominator as we speak with people, it's like everybody's in a position to like want to help and serve. Why is helping people so important to you?
It's everything to me. I know this cliche, but the money doesn't even get me out of bed, man. What gets me out of bed is delivering to my team and delivering to the clients and just all the people that I'm able to touch and get in contact with. You know, I want to be. Money can't turn you into Superman.
For sure.
But helping and serving can turn you into Superman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When, you know, when it hits the fan, I want to be a value to everybody around me. You know what I mean? And deeper than just money. You know, people call me all the time, like, I need a house, or I got this money, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And I want to be a value to them. So serve first. yeah. serve first, because God put us here to serve. So, sure. you know, I want to serve as many people as I can get in contact with and have some impact.
That's dope. That's dope. All right. Well, Josh, I just want to let you know, man, it's I've been watching you since we met, man. You've always been a very resourceful person, man.
Thank you
put me on game with a lot of things, where they came to marketing and just bouncing ideas off each other, man. So one, I want to thank you for that, you know what I'm saying, show my appreciation for that. But man, I just want to see you and Phil continue to succeed, man. Like the fact that you all got a team where it's like we overseas with it. We're in Houston mm-hmm. over here. We in. Oh man, we didn't even talk about the Airbnb situation, man. Yeah. You ain't say nothing about that.
I ain't
man.
Say nothing about it, man.
Look at you, man.
Man, Airbnb, man. You know what? I got it. Because I like the Airbnb game, but to me, it's too many people trying to like take from the Airbnb entrepreneur. Does that make sense? Like
it's oversaturated.
No. It's too many outside. Shit coming, like it's becoming too regulated okay. by the city.
Okay.
It's not oversaturated. Okay. It's growing. Like the market is actually growing, but it's too many people trying to get paid from nothing, and it irritates me. You know what I'm saying? I don't like the government coming and taking any more than what they already done took.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, for people that got, you know, multiple Airbnbs and they having to do multiple licenses now, or you know, now the building want 25% of your rev.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, on top of the rent, you know? And, you know, it's just, now I just feel like when I do my next Airbnb, it's going to definitely be like a house, like I buy.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not doing no more of that, because it's too many people taking off your plate.
Yeah.
It's way too many people taking off your plate. So, yeah, no, I still love the Airbnb game. We could do a whole episode on that, because I learned a lot this last year about Airbnb. Like,
yeah.
the ups and the downs, and just, you know, how to correct certain stuff. But, you know, that's the fun part for me, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, trying something new and, you know, going, you know, taking your lumps, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But coming out on the other end of it with experience and
smarter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not a loss, it's a real lesson.
Yeah.
If you treat it like a lesson, then you're going to be all good. Treat it like a loss, then you're going to be sitting at your pity party waiting for somebody to help you.
Yeah, we don't lick no wounds around.
Nah, man, we come out strong and we ready
exactly.
to promote.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, I just want to speak lessons to you, man. You know, I want to see you and your company be the fidelity of real estate. I want to see Keyland Holding consistently growing. I want to see you touch that 1.2 this year. I want to see you with that meal, and we probably fuck around, be on the yacht.
Chilling, you already know.
Bottles. You know how we get down, boy.
You know what I'm saying?
So, you know, tell people where they can reach you at, where they can find Keyland Holdings. And
yeah. You could, if you're selling a house, keybuysfast.com. That's KeyBuysFast.com. If you're selling a house, if you're looking to become a part of Momentum or buy a investment property from us, you can hit us at KeyHomeInvest.com. Key Home Invest. That's KeyHomeInvest.com. That's our site for if you want to buy income property from us. You want to reach me directly, J_Sway on Instagram. We also have a podcast that me and Phil do called Whole Time Real Estate. It's just pretty much our diary, man. We give a lot of helpful advice to new investors and, you know, just our experience. So Whole Time Real Estate is the podcast. And, you know, that's pretty much it, man.
That's what's
and pull up on me, man. I'm right here, man. South Highland, man. So, you know, you want to talk real estate, my door is always open.
Y'all make sure y'all pull up on this man, get in contact with this man. Check out his website, check out his podcast, like it, subscribe it, just like y'all do with this one. Like and subscribe. We'll keep putting out good content, educational content, and we're here to serve. So, Josh, thank you for being on Speak Life, man.
Thank you, man. I like what you're doing, brother, for real.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. All right, y'all. Till next time. Later on.